And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can, of course, listen live to Joy 620. You can listen to the podcast. You can find that at investinghope.com. You can find a lot of things at investinghope.com. We'd encourage you to go over there. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Twitter. We're everywhere all the time. And so if you want to learn more about the work that we're doing at Hope Resource Center, you can go to any of those outlets to find out more. If you want to volunteer, if you want to sponsor an event, you can reach out to me, Andrew, at KnoxvilleHope.com. Would love to connect and talk to you. Today, what I want to do is spend some time talking about an issue that some of you may hear and go, well, what's that got to do with pro-life? What's that got to do with abortion? What's that got to do with the issue that you currently, or that you seem to talk about every single week? But I want to talk about it because it's something that we are seeing at Hope Resource Center. It's something that doctors are seeing, not just here in Knoxville, not just in the state of Tennessee, but across the country. And as we look at the opioid epidemic and the crisis that we're facing and the abuse of drugs and how that affects not just the women that are coming in our doors, not just families and parents, but also the babies that are in the womb. And so it is an issue that many are trying to figure out what to do. We have folks at the legislature trying to figure out what to do. We have churches that are trying to figure out how we can come alongside and support. And of course, at Hope Resource Center, we're trying our best to work with patients and get them into places and rehabs and with doctors in this community that can help them get away from the drugs and the addiction and the problems that come with that. So what I'm going to do is walk through some articles and look specifically at what's going on in the state of Tennessee. And then we'll look at why this is a pro-life issue and what that means for pro-lifers. We're also going to look at numbers and the impact that it's having, the deaths that are coming from this drug crisis, and we'll go from there. But first, I want to talk about at least in the state of Tennessee, Governor Haslam pushed an initiative back in January as he gave his State of the State address, and he was talking about the drug epidemic, and so the Senate and the House both passed pieces of legislation. Ultimately, the governor signed it and went into effect July 1. And so let's walk through what that looks like. After months of consideration and behind the scenes negotiations, the Senate, of course, passed Governor Bill Haslam's two signature bills aimed at reducing the opioid crisis in Tennessee. The first bill limits the supply and dosage of opioid prescriptions for new patients, and the second creates incentives for incarcerated offenders to complete intensive substance use treatment programs and adds measures to better track criminal distribution of the drugs. The bills were part of the Tennessee Together plan, a $30 million effort to address the crisis in the state that Haslam outlined earlier in the year. The Senate, of course, and the House passed these pieces of legislation. It had some amendments, but both bills are important, and although law enforcement and treatment play a role in the governor's plan, a key focus has been prescription limits for patients deemed opioid naive. The hope has been to shut off the flow of new Tennesseans becoming addicted to the drugs. But the measure, sponsored by Majority Leader Mark Norris and Representative David Hawk, do not cut prescriptions for current patients or patients in chronic pain. Early on, doctors and organizations like the Tennessee Medical Association criticized portions of the governor's plan over concerns it limits a physician's discretion on when to prescribe the drugs to patients in need. But the Haslam administration, lawmakers, and healthcare providers later reached a compromise on the measure. The compromise moved the proposed legislation away from a strict 5-day limit to a policy that gives doctors more leeway, including the ability to prescribe up to 10-day supply in some cases. The Tennessee Department of Health and the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services have pointed to studies showing that patients who receive opioid prescriptions exceeding 5 days face a higher risk of addiction. Under an amendment to the prescription limit bill, physicians may offer patients a 3, 5, or 10-day prescription with no more than a 10-day supply and with a dosage that does not exceed a total of 500 morphine milligram equivalent dose. The bill also includes some other exceptions for serious ailments such as more than minimally invasive procedure or where the risk of intense pain exceed the risk of addiction. The updated legislation also says doctors must enter information into the state database of opioid prescriptions for a new episode of treatment. And so as we look at that, that bill went into effect July 1 of this year, so just a few weeks ago, but they are giving pharmacists leeway to implement and update their databases until, I believe, January 2019. So they have some months to prepare for that. But the point is we have a crisis. We have a problem. This is a drug problem that's facing the inner city. It's facing rural communities. A lot of folks are dealing with addiction, and we're not real sure what to do about it. So some are pointing blame at doctors. Some are pointing blame at poor choices by people getting into addiction. But the fact remains, there's a problem that needs to be corrected. And legislation can go so far, but it's not going to fix the problem. I mean, we've seen over the years legislation and reform to attack the drug problem that's faced the country when it comes to cocaine and other drugs. But ultimately, there's still addiction out there. There's still issues facing society. And so what do we do as Christians? How do we look at that? How do we go about fixing the problem as best we can as we're facing a broken, a broken world? And so at Hope Resource Center, we see more and more patients that are dealing with addiction of some sort. And so what's the answer? A quick answer would be, you know, it starts at home. And so you would have a family that works to raise their children that they wouldn't get caught up in addiction. And if they did get caught up in addiction, they would step up and take care of the children. But that sounds amazing, and it's certainly something that parents should be striving to do, but that's not the norm for everyone. And so I know some really great families, godly families, that have seen their children get wrapped up in addiction. And it wasn't the fault of the parents. It wasn't the fault of you know, their raising of their child. It just happened. And so, we can try to put things in place and models in place, and we can look at what other states are doing, and we can do all of these things. And at times, we paint these issues as if legislation alone will fix them. Legislation alone will not fix them. We have laws on the books that says you cannot drive while drunk. But guess what? People still drive while drunk. And so legislation is part of it. But there has to be a component where the church, where communities step in and not looking for more taxpayer dollars, not looking for how much more money can we spend to fix this issue, but how can we interact with the community, interact with our neighbors, and assist in getting them away from addiction? Because it's not just, like I said earlier, it's not just the mom, but if they're pregnant, it's the baby that is going to be born addicted. And that's a terrible scenario. And so how do we get them in the proper place so that child is going to have the best chance when it is born? And so we have great doctors here in Knoxville that are working in that and working to get our women off of the drugs and away from the addiction. We are looking at truly treating, in some cases, truly treating the issue and not simply saying you're going to go to jail for X amount of time, but putting folks in rehab centers and getting them the help that they need. And so it's not an easy fix, but it is one that I think really kind of somehow snuck up on us. And so if you're following along this Thursday in Tennessee, the election is primary election day this Thursday. So we're going to find out who wins the primary and ultimately is going to be running in the general election for governor and other offices, congressmen and things like that. And many of them have plans laid out. This is what we're going to do to fight the drug epidemic facing our state, facing our communities. But again, that's not the be all end all. Those pieces of legislation although needed, are not going to fix everything. And so we have to be engaged. We have to be proactive in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our churches, to say, what are we going to do in correcting this problem? We have to be engaged with doctors. You know, some of the drugs that they're putting patients on to get them off of the opioids and get them away from their addiction is actually creating more addiction. So then they may not be taking that one drug anymore, but now they're addicted to the drug that they've been prescribed to get them off of the drug they were addicted to. And so it's a cycle. It's a problem. Then you have not just from getting it from doctors, but you have folks that are selling it just like any other drug. And so I was talking with someone the other day and we said, we never thought we would see folks that are shooting up heroin and that's going to be an issue that they're facing, but that's the reality. And so one way of looking at it from a Christian standpoint is just stop taking the drugs and you'd be fine. Well, yeah, but it's not that easy for someone that's wrapped up in addiction that is turned away from everybody and everything because the addiction has a hold of them. And so when we come back from the break, what I want to do is look at the pro-life side of it and how this is a pro-life issue. And I know some people say, well, you know, we don't need to expand the pro-life definition. The pro-life definition should be solely against abortion. That is a big part of it. But we can't claim to be pro-life Christians if we're not making that a truly looking at a pro-life ethic. And if being pro-life does not include fighting for and standing and hoping that people can get out of their addictions, then what are we doing? That is a Christian thing to do, is to seek to help people in those dark moments. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Your love is the flood, and I'm caught in the current of your living waters. It's your love, it's your love. Your presence is the flood, and I'm caught in the wonder. You have taken. So today we're talking about an issue that's not just facing the state of Tennessee, but facing the whole country as we see more and more drug overdoses. And it is a pro-life issue. It's one that the pro-life community needs to be concerned about. It's one that we need to be concerned about when it comes to moms, when it comes to babies, when it comes to families. And so now what I want to do is look at it from a standpoint of what the church can do while we also look at some numbers that I think will help open our eyes to truly the issue that we're facing. And the article that I'm going to be referencing is from the ERLC, and it's Philip Bethencourt wrote it, and you can find that at erlc.com, and I would encourage you to do so. So every day, 142 people die from drug overdoses in America. The median-sized church is just over 75 people. This means that every day, the equivalent of a number of people in two average-sized churches lose their life to drugs, many from opioids. A recent study points out that the magnitude of this issue, America is enduring a death toll equal to September 11th every 3 weeks. Overdose deaths are up 19% from last year, with nearly 60,000 people dying from overdoses in 2016. To put it in perspective, drug overdoses now kill more people than gun homicides and car crashes combined. The crisis is a silent epidemic in America that demands further engagement by the church. You see, opioids include several types of drugs, including prescription pain pills such as morphine and oxycodone. Almost as many people have opioid prescriptions in America, 92 million, or 38% of the population, as the number of people subscribed to cable and Netflix combined, which that number is 99 million. 5% of Americans admit to misusing prescription opioids they've acquired through illicit means. An astounding 1.9 million Americans report having a full-fledged addiction to opioids, an increase of 493% since 2010. Heroin now causes 25% of all opioid deaths in America, up from 8% in 2010. The dangerous synthetic opioid fentanyl reported to be 50 to 100 times more powerful than heroin, also contributes to a growing number of overdose deaths. About 80% of all opioids worldwide are consumed in America, and the U.S. accounts for about 27% of the world's drug overdose deaths, despite having only 4% of the world's population. So this is a crisis in America, and it has grown for the past two decades. Many people know someone personally who misuses or is addicted to opioids. One report notes that since 1999, the number of American overdose deaths involving opioids quadrupled. From 2000 to 2015, more than 500,000 people died of drug overdoses, and opioid account for the majority of those. So this is a problem that, folks all over the country are looking to. Despite some examples to the contrary, evangelicals have largely been silent on the growing drug crisis in America. Christianity Today did run a cover story back in 2016. Relevant Magazine published an article discussing how this is a pro-life issue. But these articles are exceptions that confirm the reality. Evangelicals have ignored the opioid crisis that is swelling around them. Until evangelicals embrace the opioid epidemic as a pivotal aspect of championing a whole-life, pro-life social ethic, the church will continue to overlook the crisis all around it. The Bible calls Christians to embrace a holistic view of life that defends the most vulnerable from conception to resurrection. Ministering in the midst of this crisis is a key area where churches can protect human dignity by embracing the many ways in which this epidemic is a pro-life issue. First, we need to look at it that the opioid crisis is a pro-life issue because it affects babies. From 2003 to 2012, the last year for which statistics are available, the number of babies born dependent on drugs grew nearly fivefold in the United States. Babies are often separated from their mothers while overcoming withdrawal symptoms, though moms can accelerate the recovery process and are frequently weaned off their withdrawal symptoms with morphine. Holistic care for the preborn includes advocacy for those who are victims of unwilling opioid addiction. The opioid crisis is a pro-life issue because it affects families. The opioid epidemic is straining America's foster care system. Most states are witnessing rises in the number of foster care children, largely due to a family separation that results from drug abuse and addiction. Many children thrust into the foster system due to drug-related family issues require special training for those that care for them, which means states have a shortage of approved foster families. If evangelicals truly want to be pro-family, then they must not only care for the orphans in their midst, but the underlying drug epidemic that is causing a major portion of it. This drug crisis is a pro-life issue because it affects communities. Widespread drug problems undermine the flourishing of communities by disrupting work patterns and endangering the people in the region. A close friend hails from Johnson County in Kentucky, which has an overdose rate of 46 for every 100,000 people, three times the national average, which is 16 for every 100,000 people. Every time he goes home, he sees the devastating effects on work in his community, including soaring unemployment, rising numbers collecting disability checks. In some towns, employers cannot fill available jobs because in some cases, nearly 50% of applicants fail drug tests. How can evangelicals be holistically pro-life if we don't engage this opioid crisis? The drug epidemic in America is ravaging local regions in ways that affect babies, families, and communities. A whole-life pro-life perspective must include concern for this crisis. The presidential administration and the media have issued a wake-up call to the country, and evangelical churches must equip their people for compassionate ministry to those devastated by this crisis in America. And so as we look at what the church can do, well, the church, first off, needs to recognize the issue. And this isn't, my heart isn't that the church is blind to this or not dealing with it, but the church is certainly in some way dealing with this, but we have to be proactive. The issue is here. What are we going to do? There are people in our communities that are hurting in the inner city, in the suburbs, in the rural communities, in the big cities, everywhere. People are hurting and struggling with addiction. And so 142 people every single day are dying from a drug overdose. That's a problem that needs to be corrected. And so, again, legislation is a part of that, doctors working to alleviate addiction is part of that. But the church and Christians standing up for the gospel is also a big part of that. And so we need to be prepared to help those that are hurting in our communities. We'll be back.
So I lay down my plans, I give up my rights, let you take control of this surrendered life.
So as we look at the drug epidemic that's facing our country, I think it's important as the church that we, and as Christians, that we discuss how we can get involved. And also think it's important that we talk about, I guess, the first step into the addiction and into drugs. And a lot of times it's from people seeking to numb what is going on in their lives. And so for some of us, we're hearing this and we're going, well, drugs wasn't my choice of path to numb things, but other things in our lives are. And so I think a lot of us struggle with addiction in some shape or form. Some people just go down the path that creates addiction to drugs. And so as the church, we have an answer for a broken world. As a Christian, we have an answer for a broken, fallen world. Someone that's dealt with abuse, someone that's dealt with struggles and continues to deal with abuse and struggles and things in their lives that they want to numb themselves to. And so people go down the path of drugs. And so what we find is some people are facing unemployment and poverty. And so they find themselves addicted to drugs that then prevents them from finding a job and prevents them from getting out of poverty. So it's a cycle. It's a problem that continues. And it's an overwhelming one, where folks feel like they have no way of getting out. They have no way of stepping up and making different choices and changes in their lives. And so what are we doing as the church? Not pointing fingers again and saying, just stop taking drugs, just stop doing it. It's not that easy. And so how are we partnering with people in our communities to see a change in the climate? And first and foremost, as the church, we have to come alongside community partners that are already working in certain parts of our community to get people away from the drugs and away from addiction. And so are we coming alongside places like that? Churches are uniquely positioned to weigh in on this crisis. And you see, our specialty, and again, this article that I'm going to be referencing is from Baptist News, and it says, our specialty in many ways should be meeting people in their pain and suffering, because that is the model of ministry that Christ exhibited. Jesus suffered great pain, even death, because of humanity's sin. Our pain and brokenness led to his suffering and dying. If anyone can respond to human pain and suffering with hope and healing, it's the risen Christ. And so as we look at this, and as we have a conversation about what the church can do and what Christians can do, we have to step up and be willing to enter into the storm. And so I've talked about it before that we are not the ones that stand on the shoreline while folks are drowning. And we don't just stand on the shoreline and scream out, swim, flap your arms, kick your legs. When people are drowning around us in addiction and in struggle and in pain, as Christians, what we have to do is get in there and meet them where they're at. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And so the answer isn't let's just let them deal with it. The answer isn't that the government will take care of it. The answer isn't the doctors will take care of it. The answer isn't those families, those communities will take care of it. We have to, as Christians, see the problem and see if we can assist. And we have news, we have the word, we have Christ that can help with that. So this article goes further and says, what is your church doing to help address people's pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, and mental pain? In seeking more people in seats and dollars in the bank account, have we lost sight of our special role in ushering in Christ's healing to the world? This drug epidemic is certainly a health crisis and an addiction crisis, but it's also a spiritual crisis. How can your church help bring spiritual healing to lives and families ravaged by drug addiction? And then this person gives out four different ideas on how to impact locally in your community. Get lay leaders or your pastor to attend training to learn how to administer the drug that ultimately, when there's a drug out there that when people overdose, you can give a shot of this and it ultimately in many cases revives the patient. And so some people, you can be trained on how to do that. You can attend a drug task force meeting in your region and join the conversation. Ask your local sheriff's office or state rep how your faith community can get involved. Host recovery meetings at your church. I know many churches are doing this. Recovery from a number of addictions, not just drug addictions, alcohol addictions, or porn addictions, but a number of different addictions that folks are dealing with. Or maybe you're a work addictions. But there's recovery groups that you can start in your church, or there's already churches in this community that are hosting these that you can be a part of. Maybe I remember when my parents went through a divorce, my dad went to Divorce Care, which was a recovery group or a group that you could visit and process the pain of divorce. And it did wonders for my dad. And he went and attended it at a different church, not our church. And what happened? My dad went through it and it changed his life. And then he came to our church and said, I want to start a divorce care in our church. And so that's what happens. People, you can go learn about a recovery program at a different church, bring it to your church, and step out and help folks. Churches are not equipped or trained to deal with addiction and recovery. And a number of groups provide training. So you can don't be afraid to reach out to folks in the community that are already doing it. You know, a lot of times what happens is we try our best to reinvent the wheel. And so there's times even at Hope Resource Center, people will come in and say, we're going to start a pregnancy center, and they're right down the road from us, and we're going to start doing ultrasounds, we're going to start doing this and doing that. And why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? If there's already an organization in that community doing it, then let's partner with them. Let's come alongside them. It's not about who gets the credit. It's not about who ultimately can say we fixed the problem. It's about helping the people. And if there's already groups in the community that you can flood with members of your church, that you can flood with believers to help out, then let's do that. Now granted, if there's groups that are doing things that are anti-biblical, anti-gospel, then yeah, you need to discern that and see how else you can help. But are we willing to partner with community leaders? Are we willing to call the sheriff's office or the chief of police and say, look, how can we as a church, how can we as Christians help out with this issue? Can you come in and train our staff? Can you come in and have a conversation with our deacons, with our elders, with our small group? Maybe it would just be you having a meeting with your pastor and saying, hey, I've done some reading, or maybe you have been directly affected. Maybe you have a family member that has died from a drug overdose, and you want to be the leader in seeing a change within your church, and you have a meeting with your pastor and bring it to their attention. These are small things that we can do that'll make a huge impact. And ultimately, as Christians, what we want to see is we want to see strong families, strong moms and dads. There's nothing more heartbreaking than seeing police camera footage of a mom and dad in the front seat of a car overdosed with their child in the back seat in a car seat. And that has become more and more common. And some people would say, how could they release that footage? Well, they release that footage because they're showing what is occurring in communities across this country. And it's heartbreaking. But what that shows is the brokenness. That addiction has such a hold on those people that they would risk everything. The life of their child, their own life, their freedom, they would risk everything because the addiction is so strong. And so how can we help? How can the church step in and help? The church is a place for broken people. We serve a God. We have a Savior that was willing to go through things he didn't have to go through, but willing to go through things that he knew his people were going to go through. I mean, I was reading something the other day, and it was talking about how when Jesus took the disciples out into the storm, when he took them out on the boat and the storm occurred, and they're losing their mind and Jesus is in there taking a nap, he knew the storm was going to come. But what was the purpose behind that? The purpose was he was letting them know, even in the midst of the storm, I'm not far off. And so what kind of message are we sending to our communities as the church if we're not willing to tell them that we're gonna get into the storm with them? We're going to walk through this with them. Will it be hard? Absolutely. Will you have your heart broke at times? Yes. Will people turn on you? Probably. But even the mom and dad that's in a car overdosed with their little baby in a car seat in the back seat. Here's the thing as a Christian that we have to reconcile and believe as gospel people. That baby in that car seat bears the image of our Creator. But guess what? So does that overdose mom in the front. So does that overdose dad in the front. Now that doesn't excuse the poor decision to overdose with their children in the back seat. But what it does do is it makes us not look at this as just some epidemic that can be fixed legislatively. But it makes us look at it as an issue that's hurting and harming those that bear the image of the Creator. And so if we see it as an issue that's hurting and harming image bearers, then it's not a political issue, it's a gospel issue that the church is going to have to deal with. And so let's have those conversations. Let's be willing to have those conversations with our people, with our pastors, with our deacons, with elders, with lay leaders. And with community leaders, we'll be back. I can hide you. I can hide you. Say, you hold me safe. I'm okay. I'm okay. Completely safe. So as we look at the drug epidemic that's facing our country, I do think it's important that we as the church, we as Christians, not just kind of look at it from a distance and go, well, that's just the problem of a secular community that we don't have anything to do with. This is an issue that's hurting Christians. Christians are dealing with addiction. This is an issue that's hurting a lot of people. And again, what we have to do as believers is look at these issues from a standpoint of who they actually affect. And so, yes, there is a legislative component to abortion. There's a legislative component to the drug epidemic. There's a legislative component to all of these things. But the church can't be the ones that wait around for a legislative fix. The church needs to be driving the remedy for these issues. And so we've been commissioned, we've been called from the Creator to do something, to get out there and be a part of our communities, be engaged and to love people well. And part of loving people well is telling them the hard truths, getting them out of addiction, telling them the choices that they're making are not the right choices, and here's why. But part of loving people well is also being willing to get off the shore and get into the areas where people are drowning in addiction. And so if we want to see families made whole, if we want to see babies and life be chosen, which we don't apologize for, we should want those things, then let's get after it. And so now, if you've heard this show, you have no excuse. You know what's going on, what we're facing. And so how can we help? How can we stand up? Maybe you could be a mentor at Hope Resource Center and help us stand with these moms in their dark times and in their moments of frustration, their moments of weakness when they're struggling with addiction and other things. Maybe it's sitting down with your pastor and having that conversation. Hey, what's our plans to impact our community? You know, maybe it's looking online and seeing the statistics, not just for our state and for our country, but for your community. What does it look like? How many overdoses are occurring? Maybe it's reaching out to local law enforcement and saying, how can we help? Maybe you are a medical professional and a Christian, and your services could be used in a number of different ways. Find out how you can help. All of those things are important, but the most important part of it is recognizing that this is a issue that image bearers are dealing with. And so we can't just sit on our hands and do nothing. We can't sit on our hands and wait for a policy. We can't sit on our hands and wait for someone else to do it. We have to step up and engage in the process. That's what we do at Hope Resource Center when it comes to the issue of life and abortion. That's why we open our doors. And now what we're seeing is because of our mission and because of the no-cost services that we provide, we are impacting more and more folks that are struggling with addiction. And so we have partnerships in the community where we can point people, refer people to go get the help that they need. We help them as much as we can from a standpoint of their pregnancy and baby shower if needed and all of those things. But ultimately, getting out of that addiction, it's pointing them to the right people in this community, in the city of Knoxville, that can help them. And so reach out to folks and see how you can help. You may have a neighbor, you may have a friend that their child is deep into addiction, and they're just waiting for someone to reach out and offer assistance. How can you be that person? Pray about it. Love today better than you did yesterday, and love tomorrow better than you did today. We'll talk to you next week.